All right, welcome back to another episode for Amplified Impact. And we're going beyond the limits today with Andy freaking Love. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
I could try to introduce her, but I won't do it justice. But what I will say is that for Andy leading right now, 21 Days of Embodiment, it's free. You can reach out, find her on Instagram to learn more about it. But she's been talking about some of this stuff for the last 5 years. And it's wild because I randomly found her, which of course is never random, but I didn't know why. And the longer that I've got to know you, Andy, the more the why has really shown itself through. But if you want to introduce yourself and share a little bit more about like how you got here, I know we don't have all day for your story, but just a piece of your journey.
Yeah, well, first, I'm so excited to be here with you doing this. It's so fun. I'm like, I feel like we need to do it in person. I feel like we should be sitting across from each other on a couch, but this will work. So I'm just really excited to be here and to share with your community. And gosh, let me tell you my Cliff Notes version of my story in like 2 minutes or less. But I've been on the embodiment somatic journey for, I always get the math wrong, but it's been like 22, 23 years. So about half my life, maybe a little longer than that. I'm 44. And I kind of found my way into this world through my educational path and and my own struggles. And it very, very quickly has become really my life's purpose. And I was thinking about something this morning, actually, in regards to my story. And I was like, man, like, I think sometimes it can. Because embodiment and somatics, and we'll probably talk a little bit about this, is so trending right now, which I think is a really great thing. I think sometimes people, I feel like sometimes my work gets lost in the sauce. And so I think for me, one of the things that I feel the most excited about, and I shared a little bit about this in the 21 days, is that I've been doing this for a really long time. And for me, it's a lifestyle. So it's not a trend, it's not a hack, it's not some like quick thing to like get a quick fix, but it's more so a lifestyle that has really changed the way that I show up, changed the way that I live, and I'm watching it really impact the communities that I'm serving in a great way. And so I found this work from my own trauma, from my own struggles. I became a student, then I became a therapist. Now I'm a student and a teacher, kind of dually. And I've got a really integrative approach to the way that I work with the nervous system. That's, I think, very different than a lot of what's out there, because it comes from, half of a life of lived experience at this point. So yeah.
And what I love about this, Andy, is like she's still doing this work to this day, 20 years, half her life. And the most real experience is her living and sharing these moments of like the work actually never ends, right?
Yeah.
It's like continuous. And for you, what would you say like becoming limitless means to you in the sense of like embodiment, somatics, like lifelong journey of this work?
Yeah, I think, man, I love this question because it's like, how do we define limitless? Like, I'm sure we all ha come with like a different definition of limitless. And for me, it's really about like, can I increase my capacity even when, no matter what, without bypassing? To me, that's like ultimate freedom or limitlessness or ultimate limitlessness, where it's like, even if something is activating my system or something is triggering me, that I can still find a sense of groundedness and really hold myself in that. That's like kind of this unstoppable, limitless energy that I think is what we all strive for. Like when we really chunk it down, it's like, what do we want? We want freedom. We want joy. We want bliss. And it's like, that to me is limitlessness. It's like where I can not be hijacked by the things that are happening either to me or around me. And I can still feel those things, but not become those things. And so to me, that's really, I would say like that's how I would define it. And then I'm sure if I sat with it longer, we'd probably unravel down and unravel up with that. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and like with that being said, you think about like what it is that we actually desire, right? And it's not the thing that we think we want, it's like the deeper thing of like what's the feeling that we think that thing is going to get us, right? Like we think, oh, 10K months or oh, the relationship or oh, the baby, but it's like what is that gap filling? And I'm curious for you and the journey of being on this work, like what have you personally experienced like commented limited by, like limited by your experience, limited by your body, limited by the past. Like what blocks you from feeling that limitlessness?
Yeah. You know, I think it's like when I'm not actually in the, it's like when I'm not actually in the embodiment. So for me, it's like the block comes when I'm, or like what would prevent the limitlessness is when I'm not actually like in the full experience. So it's like, then I'm bypassing. And so in that bypassing, I'm not actually acting in the alignment. Right. And so that I think is if I'm thinking back on like, when are times in my life where like, even if it's hard, right? So like, even if something like I'm like, gosh, all of a sudden, like the mental Rolodex is like this time, but there's something to be said, I think, of like, when we can lean into the discomfort or the blocks or the obstacles, that actually creates more expansion. Where sometimes we can think like, oh, if I lean into the sensation and it's not high vibe enough, or it doesn't feel good enough, or it's not the energy that I'm trying to cultivate or manifest, or all of these ways that we almost like gaslight ourselves and feeling, it's like, well, wait a second. What if I actually lean in, feel the thing, and then from that place, allow myself, it's like, I mean, you probably could, I mean, I'm hearing you in my voice talking about like the contractions and birth, and then the like, then it's like we contract and then we expand. And I think it's kind of the same thing. So for me, not really tapping into that limitlessness is when I'm like, ooh, here's an edge. I don't want to lean into the contraction. So we try to continue to expand out from it. And then like that actually becomes resistance. So yeah, I mean, I would say all the times that I don't actually let myself feel the sensations, which almost feels counterintuitive, but that's where the biggest expansions come from. It's from like, ooh, this is uncomfortable. Let me go there. And then I'm like, yes.
Yeah. And I just love you sharing this because I was literally thinking about birth, and like the greatest lesson it gave me was like, if I go into the discomfort of this contraction, on the other side is the expansion. And it's why I'm like, no, if you want to feel what you desire to feel, that means you have to be able to hold both. And something that, for those of you listening, it's how I found my love for Soul Flow Embodiment, which is what Andy has created and birthed into the world for over a decade now, but practicing for almost 2 decades now, right? Like, and it's, how can I hold both? Like, how can I hold the doubt, and how can I hold the confidence and the scarcity and the abundance, and be with both of those sensations? And the more that I've been reflecting on this work since being in your world, really, is that we were designed to feel both. And the more that we give ourselves permission to feel it, it's like the faster the contraction happens, and the quicker the expansion comes. And something that you talk about a lot that I really love is dysregulation and how we bypass with our regulation tools. And as someone that's been doing yoga now since 2008, I don't want to do the math, for a really long time, I didn't realize that sometimes that was an escape tool to not feel the things. And so we look at like the phone and the food, drugs, smoking, alcohol as a way to move away from, but you have educated me on, and I know you speak to this a lot, it can also be the breath work. It can also be the meditation that takes us away from feeling those feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we see this a lot in the spiritual spaces, and not just the spiritual spaces, and the personal development spaces and the health and wellness spaces, where it's where, because we're saying the thing helps us, it's like we're almost gaslighting ourselves to believe that we're using the tool as a way to support, when sometimes the tool is actually being used as a way to escape. And so the rule of thumb that I always tell my clients is like, there's kind of two parts here. The first is having the awareness, which is really what, if you look at like the root of what the word somatics really means, and we go back and we look at like, what is the origin of the word somatics, and what is it actually defining? Okay. It's awareness. It's being aware of a sensation, a thought, a feeling, an activation, right? And so a lot of us, what's happening is that we become aware of something, and rather than moving into embodiment, which is saying, ooh, I'm noticing I'm in an activation right now, I'm noticing I'm in a trigger right now, and I'm going to explore what that sensation is, and I'm going to explore what that feeling is, not by getting hijacked by it, but like deepening our almost like our intimacy or our connection with it. And then from there, in that embodiment space, going to our tool, a lot of what is happening is that people are feeling, having the awareness of the feeling, not wanting to feel it. And then they're using their tool as a way to escape the feeling, which will work in the moment, right? And sometimes we need to be like, well, I can't be activated right now. So let me do like five breaths and like chill out and go take care of my kids. And then I'll unpack that later. But what happens is then that starts to become the new habit. And so then people aren't actually really feeling what they need to feel, which is why so many people are repeating the same patterns, the same loops, the same behaviors, the same relationship struggles, the same money stories, the same, you know, fill in the blank. And they're like, well, I'm doing all my tools. I'm meditating every day. I'm journaling for 87 hours a day. I'm doing my, you know, my breath work, my cold plunges, my saunas, my da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I can't get out of this pattern. And I'm like, well, that's because you're not actually leaning into the pattern to understand what need is being met by it. You're feeling the pattern showing up. You're freaking out because the pattern's showing up. So you're regulating your way out of the discomfort and you're staying, you might as well just, you're staying on the hamster wheel. It's just like you put a tutu on to run on it instead of no tutu. So it's like, I tell people like you're basically just putting, you know, dressing up the sensation and calling it something different with your tool. And so a lot of my work is helping people like pattern interrupt that so that they can break the cycles. And it takes time. And, you know, we are in a hyper quick world. Like we want everything. It's faster, faster, faster. This takes too long. That takes too long. Oh, this says I can get it done in 5 minutes and that's 7 minutes. I'm going with the 5 minutes because those two extra minutes. Right. And so a lot of times people don't want to slow down to actually like do the embodiment work, which is very different than the somatic work. And so I see them as two very separate things that actually work in tandem and they're used interchangeably a lot. And there's not a lot of education out there on the nuanced differences. And with embodiment, it's really hard to, I don't want to say it's hard to teach it, but we're talking about like a very like felt sense experience. And so you can't, there's no like, step one, step two, step three to embodiment. It's like you have to get into the body and feel into the body. And it's really hard to teach people how to do that. There has to be a deep devotion and willingness. So there's a, you know, there's a disconnect. It's a big one.
Yeah. And I think when we're so busy, it's not possible to be aware, right? If we're not present, how can we be aware of what's happening in the body? And I think that can be a huge bypass as well, as like we just keep staying busy, or when we do get triggered, we trigger the way of getting out of it through breath work, through meditation of like not feeling it. But then when you were like talking about teaching someone embodiment, it's like, I always say you can lie to the world, you can lie to everyone else, but like your body knows, like the sensations that are happening inside, like you could meditate, you could ignore it, you could stay busy. But like I lied to my body for 3.5 years and had hypothalamic amenorrhea. And like my mind was saying I was healing. And I wasn't hungry. And my body was saying, no, you're starving. And so it's like, for me, I was like, oh, this is embodiment. No one can teach you that. It's like, how do I come back into that space of like, oh, I feel hungry. I should eat now. Not, oh, I should intermittent fast, or I should not eat this type of food. It's like, I think you know this too. You said you were a vegetarian for many, many years. And there was that craving of like, I need more substance, but we can ignore those signs because of what the mind tells us rather than what the body tells us.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like I say this all the time, the energy tells the truth, period. Like energy tells the truth. And so we can trick ourselves, but we can't think our way out of a feeling. And so we can trick ourselves, but the body will always eventually override, whether that's through, you know, getting sick or shutting down or an injury or, you know, lots of different ways that the body communicates to us. But energy tells the truth. So yeah, you know, and a lot of us are totally numbed out, so we're not even aware. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that leads to my next question of like, how do you stay connected to God, source, universal consciousness while you're scaling your income and your impact? And I know this is a good one for you.
Ooh, Like, dang. Okay. Well, I mean, it is the only way for me. So for me, it's like I co-create with God. And when I say God, I don't necessarily mean like some energy up in the clouds. But for me, God is really this like universal truth that kind of flows in and through us. It's like this divine energy. We're born in this divine wholeness. And so I create with that divine wholeness. And I mean, it's just reminding me every day. And so I have a little like prayer, show me, show me, show me, tell me, tell me, tell me, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's kind of my way of saying like, what's next? Like, where do I go next on the path? And just trusting that.
Yeah. And coming back to like the signs that you get as you're asking for those questions and seeing what comes in and through for you. What do you think about when you're like, I've been doing somatics, I've been talking about this work, embodiment, like this is my soul work. And I was talking about this before. Most people agreed with this being something that people desired. It's taking over the internet right now. What do you think would change in the world if we actually live in our bodies, embodied?
Yeah. Like, I think that it's funny. I saw something the other morning, like last week, and I got like really activated. It was like, you know, it doesn't even matter, but it was something that I was like, man, let's not get it twisted, y'all. Like, this is not new wisdom. Like, the work of embodiment, if we go back and look at like where a lot of this work that's being taught now in a very different way, it goes back to a lot of indigenous traditions. And so this is ancient, 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 ancient wisdom, where when people really lived in community and took care of each other in community, these were a lot of the practices that were used to heal in community. And so now it's all over the internet, which is great, but it's been a lot of it has been, it's lost its authenticity. And so for me, I'm like, man, if we could just get the hands, like the knowledge, this knowledge in the hands of everyone and the integration and implementation of this knowledge, like the world would look so different. Like it just would. I mean, it's like, I can feel it. I can't really describe it, but it would be so different, like collectively healing. Like as a community, caring about, like actually caring about humanity, it'd be amazing. I'm like, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. And what I think when you share that too, it's almost like it's easy to talk about embodiment. It's easy to teach somatic tools, but something that you do and you guide your clients through, myself included, is the tracking, right? Like tracking what is happening. And that takes like commitment and devotion. And I worked with you for almost a year before I actually started like daily tracking and realizing and witnessing like what was happening throughout the day to day. But it's a hype and it's a buzzword that I didn't realize was a thing I did. It was just who I was. It's how I like healed my past. And then it became the hype and the buzz. And then I was like, oh, this is actually who I've been being. And I just didn't even realize it because it wasn't a buzzword then. And so what do you think as it's becoming a buzzword and more people are doing it? Like, I don't want to say the con of this, but like people that teach somatics but don't live embodied in these practices, like what is the cause that can come from this? Like for those that are listening, they're like, I want to be more embodied. I want to be so like in the somatics of it, and like ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think this is a great question, and it's, you know, it's nuanced in a beautiful way, because look, like I think there's a difference between, you know, impact and intent, right? And I think that, you know, there are beautiful teachings out there, and I don't think the intention necessarily is to teach people the wrong way, but the impact could be detrimental, right? Because I mean, I'll have people come to me and say, man, for years I was doing XYZ and I thought I was doing it the right way. And it's like, really, is there a right or a wrong way? I don't know. But what I do know is that, you know, if we're just using our tools as another way to bypass, it's a disservice. And it's a disservice to ourselves. It's a disservice to our communities. It's a disservice to our families. It's a disservice to our relationships, our partners, our clients, our employers, you know, fill in the blank, right? And so I think like, if you are someone who's teaching this work, and or you're, you know, fascinated by it, or you're, you know, whatever it is, right? That you are making sure that you're understand, not only are you understanding it, but that like you're living in the integration and implementation of it. You know, I've been saying this for years, like knowledge is just knowledge. And it's great to go out and consume knowledge. It's great to read the books. It's great to listen to the podcast. It's great to go to the events. It's great to, you know, whatever it is, but are you actually in the integration and implementation of the knowledge that you're consuming? Because knowledge is not actually power. Knowledge is just knowledge. Like the personal power comes from the integration and implementation. And so, you know, I check myself every day, like, are you living what you're teaching? Are you in the embodiment of what you're teaching? Are you letting yourself feel? Are you being messy? Are you showing up messy? Are you telling the truth, right? Like for me, I don't act like I have it all figured out. I'm not like, I am, you know, the guru of embodiment because I've been doing it for half my life and I know all the things and I never get activated because I have just learned how to, you know, increase. I am about as real as it gets. And I will tell you when I'm activated and I will tell you when I'm pissed and I will tell you when I want to quit. And I will tell you when I felt like punching someone in the face, not that I'm ever going to punch someone in the face, but like my human experience is part of what makes me alive. And so the human experience is a challenging one to navigate. And I think in a time where it's like, there's a lot going on in the world, it's like it's part of our sacred responsibility to actually feel. And in that feeling, use that feeling to be an advocate for change. And so, yeah, I just think a lot of us think that the way to get what we desire is to just be in this high vibration all the time. But that's not the truth. It's a false narrative. And so for me, the higher my vibration goes higher when I actually allow myself to lean in to what is discomfort or unpleasant. And as I lean into that and I befriend it, it's like, then I go higher on the vibrational scale because now I've just created space and shifted a relationship and alchemized something as opposed to just bypassing it, pushing it away or energetically cord cutting or all of these things that we do. When it's like, if it was that easy, y'all, and it's just not. So I think, you know, if you're a teacher out there, a mentor, a healer, a coach, and you're doing this work, like really making sure that you're actually living it behind closed doors. And the one thing that I will say through and through and through, and the people who know me really well and the people who are really close to me will say, like, she does the work. You know, and I don't have it figured out. And I'm messy a lot of the time, but that's because I allow myself to feel. And when you are a human, you're going to feel and it's going to be messy. When you're bypassing, things will always be great.
Yeah. Or not. It's almost like too, while you were speaking, I was just thinking like someone that is always high vibe is living in the head, not in the body. And so It's like living from the head is what blocks us from being limitless, right? And it's almost like what you were sharing is like, to have the human experience while knowing that you are connected to something limitless. Yeah. And the reason this really has been birthed is just like, where did our babies come from? Like if we aren't limitless, then like, where did they come from? But like, you know, it's like, I talk about that too. It's like, we're like consuming so much knowledge every single day. You just go to YouTube, go to Instagram, buy the courses, all the things. Mm-hmm. But like, if it's just information, if it's just like knowledge that you're learning, it's not embodied wisdom. And I think like that embodied wisdom is what really allows us to master being human. And that means being sad and angry, losing your temper, like all of those things that for me for so long, I really judged myself for being an insecure person. And I thought one day that that was going to go away, but really it just got shorter and shorter of like how much it consumed me. And just like speaking of like, if you're listening to this, we're going to Maui in August, 2025, come hang out with us. But that's something that you really gave me permission at Maui was like to turn those things that you don't want to hold into a gift that you have. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm insecure because I don't want to lose you. I want to be with you. I want you to choose me. And that isn't something that you need to push away. And once I really started to own that part and piece of me, it's like, I feel like I just like accepted myself in a whole new way.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of, you know, a lot of the work that I do with myself that I inadvertently teach is that like there are, you know, this comes from the lens of internal family systems, but there are no bad parts. And so the patterns of behavior that we engage in often that are disembodied. And so a disembodied pattern of behavior is basically a pattern or behavior that takes us out of alignment or takes us out of our truth. They serve a role. So it's actually a very adaptive, brilliant way in which our nervous system has operated to create safety or the perception of safety. So a lot of us are trying to eradicate these behaviors or these patterns rather than shifting our relationship to them. And so for me, it's about, again, if I'm thinking about like eradicating, it's like I'm pushing away. And I had a mentor, Nirka, say to me once, the more that you push away what you don't want, the more resistance you create. And that is what gives you roller coaster results. And so I was like, well, I don't want roller coaster results. Like I'm cool with ebbs and flows, but like, I don't want to be up, 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 and then down, 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 and then up, 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 and then down, down, down. So what do I need to do? And it's like, we need to lean in. And so I started to play around with what does that mean for me? And it's like, I need to shift my relationships with. And if I can shift my relationships with, it's not about pushing away or getting rid of. It's about saying, oh, I can see now how this pattern of insecurity is actually serving the need of being chosen. So now how can I meet the need of being chosen in a way that is different than the behaviors I exhibit when I'm insecure? And can I meet the need of being chosen in a different way that's more embodied? And then when we start to be like, oh, we start now embodying different behaviors and we're still meeting the need. And so will the insecurity go away forever? No, probably not. But will the duration, intensity, and frequency of that insecurity lessen over time? Absolutely. And then if it doesn't, then we have to go deeper and say, is there another need? Is there another secondary gain? What is it? Well, maybe it's I want attention. Okay, great. So now how can I get the need of intention met in a way that isn't XYZ? And then we say, oh, attention and being chosen, they're very similar. So where's that come from? So for me, it's like what I tell my clients, like this work is a slow burn, but when you slow down to actually do the work, the quantum leaps that you'll have are astronomical. Like the stories I could tell, I literally could write a testimonial book that would be thousands of pages long with story after story after story of clients that have actually stuck through the work. It has nothing to do with me and everything to do with them just by having a simple like integration and implementation of the knowledge. And most of us just stop at the knowledge. And then we go like, what's the next knowledge I can go consume? Now, what's the next knowledge I can go consume? And I'm like, dude, yo, that ain't how it works. It doesn't work by hopping around to more knowledge. It works by staying in the integration of what you already know.
So, and it's so big because if we just keep consuming more knowledge, we can continue to live in our heads where like what I've been really looking at is like the mind connected to the body is what allows us to be limitless in the spiritual realm, right? It's like mind, body, spirit connection. Yeah. And so for you, like with somatics, with embodiment and the way in which you run your business, it's quite different than other mentors I've worked with. And what I love is that you really do just keep focusing on the body work. Like you wouldn't need another strategy if you just keep going into the feelings and the sensations. And my birth really showed me that. I'm like, okay, if I just go in, I can go from a 40-hour birth to a 4-hour birth. So like, what if we turn that into business?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing, like our business has a nervous system and your business nervous system mirrors your system, your internal system. So if you start looking at, I mean, I remember back in 2021, I had this like wild epiphany, you know, in the middle of the night. And it's like, I know my next training, you know, and it was like your business and the nervous system, because I was realizing like, oh my gosh, like the more that I'm aware of what's happening in my body and then I'm getting into the embodiment and I'm feeling the feelings and all the things. And then I'm looking at like, how is that like fractal, like reflecting out in other aspects of my life? I was like, my business. Wow. When I'm here, the money's here. When I'm here, the money's lower. You know, it was like, I was starting to see these mirrors happen. I was like, oh my God, my business is like my system is mirroring my business system. And then my business system is mirroring my internal system. And I am like, it was like this crazy epiphany. And so, you know, for me now, it's like, yes, there are strategies that are great and that work and that help and so on and so forth. But if I don't have the internal capacity, then the strategy doesn't do diddly for me in business. And so I've really refined. And one thing that I have found, and especially, you know, I had twins in May of 2022, and I took a lot of time off in the beginning of 2022. I had a very rough pregnancy. I took most of the end of 20, I basically took all of 2022 off. Let's be real. From like February on, I was pretty much not really selling anything. I was just working with my small little group of existing clients. And then that kind of fed into 2023, where I also didn't really go guns blazing until late spring, early summer of 2023, where I kind of reignited my business. So took about 18 months off of actively selling. And yet the foundation of my company was so strong because of the embodiment work that I did, that I was able to, you know, maintain a very lovely income that sustained me and my family for, you know, 18-ish months, 24 months, which I don't want to say it's kind of unheard of, because it's not unheard of. Lots of people are doing this, but it was solid. It was solid. Like there was no anxiety. When I go back and I look at that, I'm like, that was all the body work. Like that was all the embodiment work, and not just the embodiment work with me, but the embodiment work in the company as well, because the company is a living, breathing system also. And so I look at everything in my company as what's the nervous system? What's the fascia? What's the spine? What's the bones? Are the bones good? Are the bones fragile? Like, is the fascia all like, is it messy? Does something need to be stretched? Like, what do we need to do? So I literally look at my business as a human body system, and that's how we operate. And it's quite fascinating to see the parallels and like what we're doing right now. I mean, I don't talk a lot about what's happening behind the scenes, but man, what we're doing right now, I will tell you that by the end of this year, some of the things that we, you know, I say announce, but like some of the trainings that we are going to bring to life at the end of this year are going to blow people's minds, but I have to live it first. Like me and the business have to live it first before I bring it forward, but it'll definitely be revolutionary for sure. And people are going to be like, whoa.
Yeah, it really is incredible to watch and to witness and see how it's different for you. But also like while you were speaking, all I could think about was like the freedom that you have created in your body, in your mind, in your heart, but also then in the foundation of your life and in your business, and how that gets to be something that, like you said, 18 months, I didn't do a whole lot, but I still got to have impact. I still got to have income, and I got to be present with my children, because like what's the point of a race if we're not living our lives present in the things outside of the business? And I can see clearly how that like mirrors your truth. And something that I truly love to do too is like, I want to make sure it's real for me first before I go out there. And that can take time. And sometimes speed isn't the answer, because it's like what is predictable and sustainable and going into that like long-term instead of like quick cash, right? Like what's quick cash or quick wins or a quick sell versus like, what can I do over a long extended period of time to be the example?
Yeah. You know, it's wild. Like when, like I had no idea, like what, you know, like we can't really predict like what's our pregnancy going to be like, or what, you know, we don't know. And like I had in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm going to like work up until like the babies are born. And then I'm going to come back to work like a week later. And I'm going to, you know, and if I wanted to do that, great. And if I didn't, great, whatever. But like in my mind, I didn't know what I was going to expect. And, you know, the boys were in the NICU for like the first month of their life. And like, you know, my husband and I, like we got to be there every single day, which was a luxury. Mm-hmm. Like there was no having to go back to work. There was no having to like, oh, well, I can only come, like I have to, you know, I can only come during my lunch hour or whatever. And, you know, we would see a lot of families where like, in, it was just so heartbreaking. The parents weren't doing anything wrong, but like where they couldn't be there all day long. They couldn't stay in those rooms. You know, their maternity leave or their paternity leave was over and their children were still in the NICU and, you know, they were back at work. And I'm like, thank God, like, thank God. And not that like just the embodiment work led to that, but like there was something about like, we think about limitless, like that felt limitless. Mm-hmm. And it was hard. You know, it wasn't like I was just like, oh, rips, this is so cool. It was probably one of the hardest times of my life. And yet how can something that is one of the hardest times of your life also feel limitless? And there was this, but that's the duality. And I think that's like when we're talking about like body, mind, spirit, soul. Like for me, there is no duality. It's like the body, mind works together in one. And so for me, it's like, that's the both and. Like, can I be in my power? Can I be limitless? Can I be in my freedom or in my joy while also simultaneously navigating an extremely difficult, extremely painful, extremely grief-stricken time of my life that's also very joyful? So like becoming a mom, having my beautiful children, like they're here, you know, that was like the most joyous experience of my life, paired with some really traumatic experiences that actually didn't leave the traumatic imprint because of the integration and implementation of what I teach. And mm-hmm. I think that's the big difference for me, is that there were very traumatic moments during that time that I was able to renegotiate with my system in a way where it didn't, that energy didn't have to get stuck, even though it was still really, really painful. And so, and then also like now, even 3 years later, to be able to notice some of the remnants of that and say like, how can I also work with the remnants of that? Cause it does still show up. And then how does it also show up in my business? And all, you know, and then, you know, we could just go down the rabbit hole. But I mean, that to me is like, if we go back to the question you asked earlier, like limitless is really to be able, like, can I hold the duality of the both and 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 simultaneously while staying in my power? That's to me the ultimate freedom.
Yeah, quite literally. Like when I think about it, I'm like, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Yes. And when I can be the spirit and the human at the same time, limitless, yeah. Right? But that is so uncomfortable. Like I made a Facebook post like, oh, if you want to like 3X your business, just focus on the human. It's really easy. And I'm like, ha, 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 right? Like it jokes on us actually, because mastering the human isn't easy. And that's why, you know, for the yogis, they go live on the top of the mountains and they just meditate their way out, but they're not living in the both and, they're living in the there instead of how can, and you know, tantric yogic philosophy speaks about how can I be in and of this world while ascending to the others. But Andy, I know we could talk for many hours and there's so many other places that we have to be after this. I would love to ask you one last question before we go. And what does legacy mean to you? Like, what do you hope to leave behind?
Yeah, you know, I heard this saying once and I can't remember where I heard it at. And so if someone knows who said this, please tell us. And maybe you know, but something around like, we kind of experience like three deaths in our life. And like the first death is like when our body, like when our spirit leaves our physical body. And then the second death we experience is like when we have that like ceremony or like our loved ones, you know, a funeral or whatever that looks like. Right. And then the third death is the last time that your name is spoken on the earth. And so when I think of legacy, I'm like, how many years beyond like my life will my name still be spoken? And so for me, I'm like infinite. I want that to be infinite. And I don't know what that looks like, but if there's something that I can create in this world or on this earth or an impact that I can make where, you know, generations from now, it's like, oh, you know, my great, 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 great grandmother took this soul flow embodiment class or learned this tracking sheet, you know, who knows what the world's going to look like in, you know, 500 years, hopefully it still exists. But, you know, for me, that's legacy. Like when is the last, and that not about me so much, but the impact that maybe my integration and implementation left on somebody else, you know, that like, and I think I had said, I think I said this somewhere like 5 or 6 years ago on a video where like, for me, it's about like, I just want to know that like at least one conversation I had with somebody shifted something for them, that shifted something for someone in their life, that shifted something for someone in their life. So to me, legacy isn't so much about like how much money I have or leave behind for my family or necessarily just the wealth that I create, although I want those things as well. But for me, it's more so of like, did the actions in which I showed up in on the daily impact somebody else's actions with impact somebody else's actions? And then like, when is the last time that my name is spoken out loud on the earth? You know, I think there's something really powerful when you think about that. And then like, what are people saying? And then what kind of legacy, impactful legacy or, right? So, yeah. So I want good things said. I want good things said.
I know when you said that quote, like the last one, like full body chills, it literally like down to my ankles, like my arms, like was like, wow, that's powerful. I've never heard it. I'm going to go look it up. If you're listening now, message us. Let us know who said this.
Please, where did it come from? I can't remember.
For those that are listening, where should they go to come find and follow you?
The Instagram. So I'm mostly on Instagram. So at Andy Love, A-N-D-E-E, love underscore. And I'm hanging out over there most days. Not as much as I used to with two 3 year olds, but most days I'm on the Instagrams.
Life is so real and relatable when you have toddlers.
Dude, it is like some next level embodiment practice, let me tell you.
Oh man, initiation after initiation. Well, thank you all that are here listening. You know, if something lands for you, screenshot it, tag Andy Love, tag me, Amber Hagberg. Let us know your biggest takeaways, and I will drop Andy's Instagram URL in the show notes below, and I will talk to you on the next episode.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.